In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The church cannot be a safe haven for unrepentant sinners, because that's what makes it a den of robbers, as our gospel and Old Testament texts say. For Jeremiah, the temple was filled with hypocritical worship. The people claimed deliverance while they continued to steal, murder, commit adultery, make offerings to false gods, and even to ones they didn't know of. And then for Jesus, the temple was filled with powerful people oppressing the poor. This cannot stand. The temple must be cleansed. We must be cleansed. The place of God's presence cannot remain in the soils of sin, lest the day of God's visitation be met with wrath instead of peace. So, God must step in and reestablish himself as the center of the temple, but also as the center of our lives too. Jesus visits, cleanses, and brings peace to his people. Jesus visits his people. He was the promised one of old who comes to be the Messiah, to save his people from their sins. Yet, when Jesus drew near to the holy city of Jerusalem, the place where God's people lived, this was his reaction. Luke records, when Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you. They will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Jesus wept. He was sad for this city, because they didn't know that Jesus was coming. Jesus foresaw their rejection and destruction that was to come, and it saddened them. He was their Messiah, their Savior, but he knew that they wouldn't have him. They didn't know the things which made for peace, a true peace, which lasts for all eternity. They didn't know the peace of God that Christ came to bring. They sought peace from the Messiah. Though they rejected the Messiah God sent, they sought a political Messiah to bring down the Romans, a political leader to free them from their captivity, someone to make them a sovereign nation again. That's the sort of peace they sought. But that's not the peace that God sought to bring. And so they completely missed the day of visitation from God. It was hidden from before their eyes. There was a commercial ad that ran in London to promote awareness of cyclists on the road. And the commercial had a group of four in white shirts with a basketball and a group of four in black shirts with a basketball. And so before they started passing the ball around, they would ask you to count how many passes that the team in white shirts had. And so they started passing the ball, and eventually they get to 13 passes, and the video stops. And then it asks, Did you see the moonwalking bear in the background? And so it rewinds, and then when your attention is actually directed towards finding this bear, he's easy to spot. He goes right across the screen. The point is, if you're paying attention to one thing, it's easy to miss another thing right in front of you. This happened to those in Jerusalem. They were expecting one type of Messiah and got another. But what made Jesus sad isn't that they were tricked. It was that God had been telling them of this coming Christ all along, who comes to heal the blind, the sick, and the lame, who has the Spirit of God anointed on him, who came to bring peace to the nations. Yet this Christ was hidden from their eyes, not because of some awareness test trick like in the commercial, but because they ignored God's word about this coming king. After Jesus visited his people as he came into the city, Jesus then began to cleanse the impurities of his people. Coming to that holy city, Jesus was sad. But then he came into the temple, and then he became angry, because those who sold in the temple were doing so unjustly, selling things higher than what's needed to profit greatly. They swapped Roman money for the temple coin at unfair exchange rates. Luke writes, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it into a den of robbers." The temple was supposed to be the place of sacrifice, where sins of the people are met with forgiveness through the shedding of blood. Yet the temple had become soiled and dirtied by the greed of man against each other. The money changers abused his poor ones who could hardly afford what's needed for sacrifice. Now certainly, Jesus gets ticked off at sin, but Jesus is especially set off here, because committing sins yourself is one thing, but it's quite another thing if your sin brings others down along with you. They've robbed their brothers and sisters in the temple. That's God's own people. And so they've turned this meeting place between God and man, a place of prayer, of sacrifice, of peace, into a place of greed, abuse, and impurity. Now, we have temples too. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that our bodies are temples for the Holy Spirit. God comes to be within us through the forgiveness of sins. And as we continue on in our imperfect Christian life, our temples will get soiled. We sin. And the Lord gets angry at sin. Whatever our sin may be, maybe it's like those sins that Jeremiah talks about in the Old Testament. Stealing, murdering, sexual immorality, maybe pornography, or telling lies, making sacrifices of our time to the false gods in our pockets, wasting our days away in mindlessness. Whatever our sins, it dirties the temple of our bodies, our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears, our souls. The darkness of sinful man is served willingly by our sinful flesh. And Jesus gets particularly angry when instead of letting his gospel light of holiness and truth shine through us, we use our darkness to drag others down as well. Now, this could be abuse or gossip or destroying others' reputations. But most sins don't take place in a vacuum. They don't only destroy our relationship with God, they destroy our relationship with each other. God gets angry, yes. But his anger has a purpose. The purpose is for love. His purpose is for cleansing. His passionate love for you and his love for others. Jesus' love for his people led him to cleanse the temple. Now, this word from the text to drive out is the same Greek word to describe exorcisms. So this shows what spirit truly resided in the temple. And it was necessary for it to be cast out. The impure had to be thrown out so that the presence of the divine could dwell there. Now, that the demonic work was absent from the temple, who was left? What was left? The only thing left is Jesus. He reestablished himself as the center of the temple. Luke says he was teaching daily in the temple. He established God's true teaching, seeking to cleanse the place of the wrongdoings of the den of robbers. This is what the Lord does with us in the temple of our bodies. Our sins never cease, and that's not good. But that's why the Christ comes to cleanse us weekly in the divine service. He gives his body and blood to us for the forgiveness of sins. He sits in the middle of us right here, instructing us in his word. He comes to visit us, to cleanse us, and to bring peace between us and God. His anger towards our sin has led him to the point of casting it away from us. The chief priests and the scribes were seeking to destroy Jesus, to sacrifice him, to preserve their wicked ways. Little did they know that they would put to death the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus willingly allowed himself to be offered up to God as a sacrifice on the altar of the cross. Because by this sacrifice, Jesus visits, cleanses, and brings peace, not just to brick and mortar temples. But by this sacrifice, Jesus visits, cleanses, and brings peace to you, flesh and blood temples. And so with Jesus in the midst of you, he brings peace. God's anger on your sin is requited in the sacrifice of his Son. Wrath has been satisfied. Propitiation for your sin has been made. The sacrificial animals sold in those temple marketplaces were never enough to truly satisfy God's wrath on the sins of mankind. Man himself had to pay for it. But we are not worthy sacrifices. We are blemished. But without this perfect sacrifice, there will be no peace. That's why Christ stepped in, to be the pure sacrifice when we could not. And so with this sacrifice, eternal peace is ours in Christ our Lord. Christ's sacrifice not only brings peace between us and God, but also us and each other. Just as those who sold with unjust practices in the temple were cleared out, so is the evil and unrighteousness between us and each other. This is why when we come to receive cleansing by God here in the Lord's Supper, there's no room for strife between God's people. Matthew 5 says, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go. Stop here, go. May be reconciled to your brother and then come to the altar. And so God brings peace to you, not only from himself for you and God, but here is a peace between us and each other. The church cannot be a safe haven for sin because Christ casts it away. He visits us in our temples. He cleanses us of the sin that is there with his means of grace, and he brings peace between us and God, which carries us in peace toward each other. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.